morning and will come again.
What about now? I'm live on air. Welcome to our broadcasting system coming from heaven. The reading that we've just been reading, it's a continuation of our story. You remember last week, we read about Jesus. And today again, it's about Jesus. It's continuing from where he left. But before I do that, I just want to tell you this story. Some of you know Jania and myself, but some of you don't. But here is a brief family profile of Jania and myself. I'm married to Jania for almost 30 years now. If I was sentenced for murder, I could have come out on parole, you know. We've got three daughters and one son. And two of my daughters, they like partying. And when I graduated at college and I was ordained a minister, one of my daughters said, "Dad, you know, we always like partying. Now that you are a minister, are we still going to be allowed to be partying at the men's?" I said, "Not at the men's. You can party somewhere else and I'll come and join you." So when Jania, when she graduated, they staged a nice party for her as well. And recently, the other two daughters staged a party for Diana's 21st birthday. You remember I once told you about a penthouse in a Portsmouth where we went to? Where is it? That is where we were living, right on the top floor. That is where we were for 3 days. What a surprise that was to Diana. The sisters organized that for him. But they also invited their friends to come and join us in the penthouse. The only and only thing that could allow you to come in there was a text message on your phone. So Diana and Keegan and their sisters, they text their friends. So for you to come into the penthouse, you had to show the text to the security man by the main entrance. That was your ticket to come in. No text, no parting. So, there was a barrier there. If you don't have a text, you don't come in. With a text, you could come in. So, my sermon today is about removing barriers. That is my theme. Are there barriers in your life this morning? Let Christ remove them without you sweating. Removing barriers as we continue with the ministry of Jesus. Now we come to the end of chapter 7, where Jesus now is. You remember in chapter 6, he wanted to withdraw with his disciples to take a nap or to rest. But people couldn't allow that. They rushed to where Jesus and his disciples were. But this time, he has traveled, I think the distance between where he is now and where he was before is about 50 miles. So no one could walk on foot to where he was. But as he continues his ministry, he is in that Gentile territory. He gets there, according to Mark. The theme of Mark is, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But as we're going through all these chapters that we've read and learned about, people have forgotten who Jesus is. You remember the Pharisees sent some spies to come and spy on him. If it had dawned in their minds that Jesus is the Son of God, would they have sent spies? No, I don't think so. But here, Jesus gets there. He's speaking to this Greek woman, the Bible says, a Gentile, whose name is not given. Is the name really important here? No. We don't need a name. What is very important is what this woman is going to demonstrate to us this morning. What is going to happen in this woman's life is also important in our lives. They say she was a Syrian Phoenician woman and she came to Jesus. I think even though she was not a Jew, news spread around. She could have had a hint of what happens with the Jewish community. Women and men don't speak to each other, especially in public, and especially if someone is not your wife. I think this Syrian Phoenician woman could have heard that news. But here, she came to Jesus. Isn't she demonstrating one thing here? She's breaking a barrier that has been there. Maybe the Gentiles haven't heard about all these. Whether they heard, we don't know. But she came. Jesus, being a Jew himself, he knew all these Jewish rituals and Jewish traditions. But he let this woman come to him. And the Bible says she knelt. She fell on Jesus' feet and requested for one thing. Maybe this woman was sent for you and me to show you that the barrier is being removed. There is no more this discrimination between men and women or Jews and Gentiles when you come to the Lord. You remember that story in the book of Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus sent his disciples and said, go to the house of Israel only. Maybe at this time we might also be saying, what's happening now? Is this Syrian Phoenician woman an Israelite? So this morning, this woman, when she heard that Jesus had come, maybe he was next door, she came to Jesus and fell at his feet. She had one request and one request only. That was prayer, isn't it? We've been speaking about prayers. Earlier on, Jania mentioned, read a letter from the regional team about ministers who need to be prayed for, families that need to be prayed for. So in coming to Jesus, this woman was praying for her daughter. Don't get me wrong here. Yes, there's a biological link here. Her daughter. But the Bible says, honor thy mother and father. So in other words, anyone who is older than you is your what? Your parent, isn't it? So anyone who is younger than you is your daughter, is your son. So they need your prayers. As I was sitting at the back there, I heard Rosemary saying, there is a family around us, and the minister who is not a Baptist is retiring too. You see how we pray for other people. So, mothers also, this morning, there is something that I want to show you. Mothers, we are reminded to pray for our children. In Lamentations 2, verse 19, it says, get up in the morning and cry for your children. Pray for them. The barriers that are being removed this morning is, if we have been not praying for other people, that barrier has been removed by this Syrian woman. Cultural requirements are no longer required. We need to pray for one another, whether the one is a Zimbabwean, the other one is from Syria, or wherever they're coming from. We need to pray for one another. And Jesus helps all people. We are no longer dogs. You heard that text. A dog was mentioned in there. It says, first, let the children eat all they can, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. We are no longer dogs. I'm not talking about dogs, pets. I'm talking about wild dogs that roam in the street, scavengers. If someone calls you a dog, he has called you with the most... I don't know. If someone calls you a dog or a donkey, they have scolded you. But this woman accepts it and says, even the dogs eat children's crumbs under the table. She accepted to be called a dog. Listen to Jesus' reply in verse 27. In verse 27, Jesus replies, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. We are left to wonder why the Messiah is using such a strong, harsh words, derogatory words used by the Jews, to the Gentiles. The Jews used to call the Gentiles dogs. So here, Jesus repeats the same words. Back in your mind, you should remember our theme is removing all barriers, right? So he's saying these words to remind this Syrian Phoenician woman. You were used to be called a dog, but not anymore. I'm here. In the past, God sent messages through the angels to Abraham. But now, Jesus is here with the message to you and me. You are no longer dogs. No. You are no longer dogs. These words Jesus is saying to show us that it's no more. Jesus told us to stop using traditions. So this time, he's telling us to stop calling each other dogs. But before we jump into conclusion, let's wait and hear this Syrian Phoenician woman, what she's going to say, her response. This response will show us Jesus' true picture in this story. The woman says to Jesus, the Syrian Phoenician woman accepts the derogatory remark and said, "Yes, Lord." She accepted to be called a dog. So this morning also, accept to be called a dog for your good. She replied, "Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. What a way for one to humble themselves." Are you prepared to humble yourself when you say your prayer to your Lord? You need to humble yourself, because the Bible says, if you humble yourself, the Lord will lift you high. Amen? But listen now, how is this woman lifted high? Jesus heard her request. Jesus heard her prayer. And it was granted her wish. Wow. A Jewish prophet granting a Gentile woman her wish. The Bible says when she got home, her daughter was well. Because she prayed. She was persistent in her prayer. So Jesus has removed all barriers. He is there for removing sexual barriers, racial barriers. This is the reason why Jesus came. He came for freedom. When it comes to bringing freedom, I was reading a book about the former South African president. He's late now. He died around December. Most of you know of his history. I was reading about his period at Robben Island. He said the room that he was living in, whilst lying on the floor, his head could be touching the other side of the wall and his feet would be touching the other side of the wall as well. That is how crammed he was in that small room. And at one time, when they were given the prison clothing, clothes were thrown at them, and Africans were supposed to take shots. Another nationals like Indians and colors were taking trousers. So Mandela says at one time he boycotted. He said he also wanted a trousers because it was cold at Robben Island. They threw a trousers in his cell. But when he inquired with his other fellow inmates, they were still wearing shorts. He boycotted and said, "I'm not going to put on a trousers until everyone else here has got a trouser." So it doesn't explain whether they were given trousers, but all I'm saying here is the denying of one's freedom. If you don't have freedom, this is how it is like. But Jesus is saying now, "I have come." If you have been denied freedom, freedom has come. In his ministry, Jesus is emphasizing that the removal of traditional barriers has been done away with. Now you've got freedom. Let us think of that story of Jesus with that Samaritan woman at the well that Jenny was talking about in the book of John, chapter 4. Jesus removed those barriers and he said, "Now, you can drink this water, but go and sin no more." All barriers removed. That Syrian Phoenician woman today's remarks, "Even dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." This is a bold statement. This is the statement that we all need to make because of what Jesus had done to us. Do you think Jesus didn't know of this woman's rights? He knew all about them. That's why he talks about them in Galatians 3, verse 28. Maybe if it was women of today, they would say, "Well, these are my rights." Who doesn't know these are your rights? Why do you need to tell us? Keep that news to yourself, because you deny yourself other good things for yourself. Because if this woman had said to Jesus, "I know these are my rights," maybe Jesus was not going to heal her daughter. But she kept quiet and humbled herself. And Jesus, because of her humbleness, answered her prayer. So Jesus knows your rights anyway. Sometimes it's good to keep the information for yourself. Don't make it a public story. It's your story. Keep it yourself. Jesus knows it because he's our Lord anyway. As we go to verse 29, if we look in our Bibles on verse 29, what does it say? Yes, Lord, she replied, but even dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. Sometimes it is good to persevere. We need perseverance when it comes to prayer. Not these wish-wash prayers. This woman was persistent. At one time being called a dog, at one time being told about crimes, but he persisted. All I want is for the demon to leave my daughter. With all her rights that she knew, but she kept it to herself, and Jesus answered her prayer. So in this barrier removing, we have learned about all those things. We need to pray for others. Cultural requirements are no longer needed. Mothers, you are encouraged to pray for your children. Jesus helps all people. We are no longer dogs because of Christ. Removing all barriers, all gender barriers. We have rights. Our rights are in Galatians because we are no longer Jews, Greeks, slave or master. We are all on the same level. Amen. There are some churches you find there is this hierarchical level. There's the archbishop, there's that level going to the church. So even when you come to the church, people bow to each other in those levels. Now, not in a Baptist church. In a Baptist church, we rely on that. Galatians 3, verse 28. I was looking at one of these Pentecostal churches on TV. When the minister is coming there, he comes with an entourage of bodyguards. Really? Coming to preach to your people. Do you need bodyguards? I think I walked freely there. You were all looking at me. I didn't have even one bodyguard. Because we are all equal. We are all equal. Those are our rights according to the Galatians. We are all equal when we come to God. There's no hierarchical level here. Especially in a Baptist church. We are all freed because of Christ. Shame to those churches who allow their ministers to come with an entourage of bodyguards. The stipend bill would be very much larger if I had an entourage of bodyguards. Sorry, Mr. Treasurer. Maybe next time I should bring an entourage of bodyguards when I come to preach. Not in a Baptist church. And not because of what Christ has done. Christ has removed all those barriers. When it comes to God, when it comes to the work of God, we are all equal. That's why we all rely on one another. Because of our rights, according to the right of Galatians. That leads us to persevering. We have seen the removing of barriers now. We are now going to perseverance. We have heard what this woman was saying. What she did. She even fell on Jesus' legs, his feet, demanding for the demons to be removed from her child. In the book of Mark, Matthew, the disciples were even saying, oh, this woman is bothering us. Lord, send her away. But God, Jesus didn't send her away. Because he was teaching them a lesson here. You need to persevere in prayer. Also, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says, we need to pray without ceasing. This is how to persevere. Pray for one another. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 2. It also says we must even pray for those in authority. We're talking of praying for other people here. This Phoenician, Syrian Phoenician woman has taught us. She was praying for her daughter. And the demon left her daughter. We need to pray for these demons in our children. Why am I saying that? Sometimes when you're at home, have you heard a child saying, well, I no longer want to go to school? What do we do? Well, I cannot do anything. That's her rights. I can't force her to go to school. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for our children. Those are demons. Do you know demons come in a disguised way that you cannot even understand? In the end, you claim, it's my daughter or my son's rights, so I cannot force them to go to school. It is a demon which is disguised in rights. Sometimes we abuse our rights because we think it's our right. We fall in that trap of considering that it is someone's right. Meanwhile, it's a demon. I was speaking to the teachers from the school across the other time when they were using the... I think I once told you this. One of the children, the way he was behaving in here, left me with no words. So at the end, I approached the teacher and said, how do you cope? He said, Gilson, you need to come in there and see how they behave. Some of them say, well, I cannot cope. I don't want a class where there's more than 20 students. I want few students. And they listen to that. Hence, we have such an institution. There's a one-to-one. There's a teacher who will be visiting that child. Jenny used to do that type of work. Is that a normal situation? Before we even realize, demons have disguised themselves in such a way, we now think it's a child's rights. Sometimes these rights end up being abused. In that scenario, we are being encouraged to pray for our daughters, to pray for our sons, to pray for your husband, to pray for your workmates. Maybe that's why my daughter is not being promoted at work, because you're not praying for her. Maybe that's why my son is not getting married, because you're not praying for him. There's a demon that is around him. He needs your prayer. Pray for him, please. Pray for my daughter so that she can get married. Pray for my daughter so that she can get a job. This Syrian Phoenician woman was praying persistently. She fell at Jesus' feet because she had a need of the demon to leave her daughter. You mustn't give up. Let's carry on praying for our children. We might think the Syrian Phoenician woman was praying for her daughter. But listen to this. As Jesus was going around, he ended up healing someone. We are told there was a man who was brought to him. We didn't hear of any relationship. We are told they brought a man who was deaf, a mute. There's no relationship mentioned. But all we are being told is they brought him to Jesus. So that's the whole idea. Let's bring others to Jesus. Whether they are related to us or not, we need to bring them to Jesus. There is a reading in the book of Isaiah. I could have read that to you. The story in chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. It talks about rejoicing. But I picked up verses 35 to 6 on the... Sorry. Is it gone? Wow. Anyway. Let's forget about that. All right. Verses 5 and 6. Have we lost it? Yeah, let's... No, it's not the Bible. I wanted my PowerPoint. Yes, thanks for that. Okay. I picked verses 5 and 6, which says, then will eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Waters will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Prophecy is being fulfilled here. Because, thank you. Prophecy is being fulfilled here. Jesus healed this man who was not related to the other woman. But this story has brought two stories together. In the other story, the woman was talking about her daughter. But that other group of people brought a man who was deaf and a mute. The Bible doesn't talk of any relationship here. Not at all. It says, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of Decapolis. That stands for 10 cities. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him. They begged him to place his hands on him. They are not talking of any relationship here, but they are talking of the need of us considering other people who have got nothing to do with us. Yes? If there are Zimbabweans who are living amongst you, pray for them. If there are Iranians living amongst you, pray for them. Whether they come to your church or they don't, we need to pray for them. Because this is what Jesus has said, I've come here to take away the barriers between the Jews and the Gentiles. So in the end, the Lord can answer prayers in different ways. Sometimes your prayer alone cannot be answered by God because it needs a public prayer from the church or from the group of believers. Sometimes your prayer needs an intercessor, not yourself, but someone else praying for you. And we are reminded in Job 33, verse 13, we mustn't complain to the Lord. We mustn't complain. So Jesus is saying, all barriers have been removed. The Lord answers as we pray for others. Christ has removed all barriers. We need perseverance in prayer. After the miracles, they said, he has done a good job. What about us? What do we say this morning? Jenia asked each and every one of us to come and say a testimony this morning. So what do you say about what Jesus has done? Hasn't he done a good job for you? Jesus has done a good job in my life. In verse 37, they said he has done so well. So we should also say Jesus has done so well. If you don't think so, we'll ask Jehovah Jireh to guide you and give you proper mind that realize what Christ has done. If Jesus has done a good job, let's pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for what you have done.